how we handle it, because how you handle it will determine how you're going to live at the end of the day. Whether you're going to be frustrated and upset all the time, or whether you're going to be calm and at peace and handle it trusting God along the way. You see, the key is patience. Being patient with a problem. Now, just a heads up, never ask God for patience. Who knows, that's a really bad idea. All right? Okay. Because listen, patience is not deposited. It's developed. God doesn't just, you know, we ask him for patience. Oh, okay. Then he just gives you a measure of patience. There you go. Off you go. He says, okay, I'll help you develop it. So when you leave the building here this morning, you're going to have the slowest old little granny traveling in front of you 30 k's an hour all the way to Benoni. All right. When you call a company tomorrow morning, don't be surprised when they put you on hold for the next hour. Like, this is ridiculous. You know, what's God doing? He's busy developing it, because patience is not developed, it's not deposited, it's developed. And so never ask God for patience. Just get on with it. Just make sure you're busy developing that in your own life. And I think you'll agree with me, we all appreciate it when somebody is patient. You know, remember when you had to start driving and you had a driving instructor. Imagine if that driving instructor was one of the most impatient people around. It would be a nightmare. Or if you don't know your way around a computer, or you don't know your way around some foreign airport, and you had somebody who was completely impatient, didn't have time. Or on the other hand, if you had somebody who was patient and calm and helpful, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? And so you and I appreciate it when somebody is patient. Here's the question. Are we patient with the people around about us? Because God wants us to be patient, by the way. Do you know it's one of the fruits of the Spirit? It's something that God is trying to develop within every single one of us every day. God wants to develop it, because that's the thing that makes us beautiful and attractive to the people around about us. When they look at our lives, they see a glimpse of Jesus in us. And so patience is not a good idea. It's a God idea. God wants to develop that within your life and my life. Now, one of the reasons you and I battle with patience is because it's just countercultural. We live in an instant society. Come on. You know, you look at something, you see it, you want it, you click on it, and you have it the next day. And so whenever, you know, you and I go through some kind of problem where patience is required, that's where we battle. Because we don't want to be patient, and we live in a society that's not patient. And so, you know, when you're battling with a colleague at work and it requires patience, man, we struggle with that. You know, when you're saving for something instead of just going out and buying it, or maybe, you know, you're waiting in line here to leave the parking lot just now, all of those things require patience. And you and I don't want to be patient. We don't enjoy being patient, because it's just not part of the culture that we live in, but it's part of his culture. Let me tell you, God wants us to be patient right in the culture, right in this world that we're living in right now. And you know, we do the same in relationships. When a relationship is going through a little bit of a rocky patch, whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship, I'm done with this. I don't need this nonsense in my life. And we just walk away. And what we don't realize is patience is the thing. It's the key that's required to having stronger relationships. Because the more patient we become, think about it, the better our relationships become. And so some people don't want to develop patience. And they run away, they walk away from one relationship. Listen, you start walking away, you walk from one to the next, to the next. If you don't develop it in this relationship, or in this friendship, You're going to have to develop it in the next friendship, in the next relationship. And so the more we develop that, we'll find the stronger our relationships become. Now, there are some things in life that we will never have without patience. There's some things that God wants to give us, places He wants to take us, people He wants to introduce us to, deals He wants to give us. But we won't have that if we don't have patience in our lives. And so God is trying to develop, constantly trying to develop patience in us, but it requires us to cooperate with Him. And so as long as you and I are fighting on the inside, you know, I'm sick and tired of this, and you know, I can't handle her anymore. As long as we're fighting on the inside, we're postponing what God wants to do on the outside. There are some things that we will not have without patience. And so patience doesn't mean that we're quiet on the outside. Oh, no. It means we're quiet on the inside. Because we can all put on a nice show on the outside and smile, but inside we're angry. Inside we're cooking, isn't it? And so it's not what's happening on the outside. Patience is what's happening deep down on the inside. Now, let me say to the young people quickly, I've learned if you cannot be patient with your siblings and you cannot be patient with your parents, because I know as a youngster, you know, sometimes we really got to be patient with our parents. And if you can't do that, you're not ready for a relationship. If you cannot be patient with your colleagues, you're not ready to be over that department. There are some things in life that you and I will not have without patience. And so I'm asking us today just to start cooperating with God, to be a little bit more intentional in this area, and to make sure that we're developing it in our own lives. Now, I want to do a quick survey. I want to ask you, how many of you like waiting? You absolutely love waiting. Put down your hand. Stop lying in church. Right now, I'm just joking. None of us like waiting. Come on. Why? Because we live in this instant society, isn't it? We want everything right now. And so we have a why wait mentality. And this affects, I think, every area of our lives. I mean, come on. For the young people, why wait to have sex? Why wait to buy this vehicle if I can just go and do it on credit? Why wait for God to promote me one day when I'm better than my boss anyway? And so we're walking around with a why wait mentality, and whenever we've got to wait for something, we think God's either punishing us or He's withholding something from us, isn't it? God, why can't I have this right now? I've found when God withholds something from us, when we've got to wait in an area, it's not because He's punishing us, but He's busy preparing us or protecting us. He's not punishing us. He's preparing us for something, or he's protecting us from something that we're not ready for yet. And so next time when you're waiting on God, instead of fighting with Him and saying, God, why is this not happening? You need to say to Him, God, I trust You. And I know You're a good God. And I know You have my best interest at heart. And so I know when it's not happening in my life yet, it's probably because you're protecting me or you're preparing me. When we were waiting for the rezoning of our land, our new land, to go through, I'm telling you, it took years, year after year after year. And there were times where we were tempted to get frustrated, tempted to get upset. But you can ask the guys on team, not once did I get frustrated. Not once did I get upset with it, because I knew God was either protecting us or He was busy preparing us for something ahead. You know, when Joseph's dreams weren't being fulfilled, what was God doing? Was He withholding from him? Well, really what he was doing, he was busy preparing him for another level of leadership that he wasn't ready for. And it took 14 years of preparation. But it was such a top level of leadership that God had to take him through that to prepare him for that. Think about David. When David was anointed as king, as a youngster, as a teenager, I wonder what happened that night. I'm sure he never slept. I'm sure he didn't sleep for a week. Can you imagine the prophet coming and out of the blue as a youngster, anointing you to be the next king? He didn't sleep. And then after that, he went back to the sheep, went back to the field, went back to obscurity. Maybe for some of you, that's exactly how you feel. You know there's more in your life. You know God is more for you. But somehow it feels like you're stuck in obscurity. Now I want to say to you today, if that's you, if that's how you're feeling, God is saying, I have you exactly where I want you right now. Just be faithful there. Just keep serving there. Just keep a good attitude there. And when the time is right, I'll move you. I'll promote you. But be patient in that situation. Think about Noah quickly. God tells him to build a boat and to start a zoo. How long did it take before the rain came? Roughly 50 years. You see, God's timing is not our timing. And so whenever you and I face problems and challenges, man, it's a big deal to us. In our mind, this thing is a big deal. You know, my plans haven't worked out. It's a big deal. My prayers haven't been answered. It's a big deal. My ex is causing hassles. Again, it's a big deal. And all of those things, yes, yes, yes. In our mind, it's a big deal. Until we suddenly realize there's something else, someone else who's a bigger deal. Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 12. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. You know what he's saying? Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what he's saying. Keep on praying. Keep on calling on him. Keep on looking toward him. You've got to realize that he's bigger than your problems. Do you know the one of the greatest ways that God solves our problems is not just to quickly solve the problem and it's over and done with. One of the greatest ways that he solves our problem is for you and me to realize he's greater than the problem. Because then we can handle it. Then we're patient in the process. Then we've got faith to trust him through that. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. He said, we are pressed on every side by trouble. So in other words, he's not just having a little bit of trouble. He says, man, I've got trouble here, and I've got trouble with that person, and I've got trouble with my finances. He says, we pressed on every side. He says, but we are not crushed. He says, man, I'm facing some stuff. It's not the end of the world. He says, we are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. You see his perspective? He says, man, I'm facing some stuff. It's not the end of the world. Then we jump down to verse 17. Listen to what he says. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Another translation says they are light and momentary troubles. Now, let me tell you, there was nothing light about his troubles. Do you know that he received the 39 lashes that almost killed Jesus? They weren't allowed to give 40 lashes because they found it would be just one too many. People would die from the shock and the pain of that. You see, back in those days, they would use a whip. Just to give you a bit of perspective, they would use a whip with multiple strands. It was called a cat of nine tails. And so it would be a wooden handle with leather straps, 9, 10, sometimes 12 straps. And on these leather straps, they would fasten onto them little pieces of bone and stone and metal. And so when they gave somebody a whipping, when they gave them one shot, it wasn't one shot, it would be 10. If you received two shots, it would be 20. Paul received 39 lashes. It would be like the equivalent of 390. And after that, their backs, because of those fragments of stone and bone and metal, their entire back would be completely ripped open. Do you know that he received those 39 lashes 5 different times during his life? 5 times. And he says, my problems are light and momentary. He was shipwrecked 3 times or so. Who does that happen to? I mean, this guy spent a day and a night at sea. He was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned and left for dead. They thought he was dead. A snake bit him once. I mean, you know, if you had to give this guy advice, you'd say, you know, Paul, you've done something wrong here. You know, you've done some bad stuff in your life. You know, this doesn't happen to anybody. And yet he says, my trouble are light and momentary. How could he say that? Because you see, his focus wasn't on his troubles. His focus was on God. I think the mistake we so often make, we focus on our problems. And we all do it. And so we're constantly thinking about the problem. Constantly talking about the problem. We're constantly complaining about the problem. And then we wonder why we're consumed by the problem. Come on. Because we focused on it. We're talking about it. We're thinking about it. We're complaining about it. Instead of focusing on God. So I'm asking you this morning, stop focusing on the problem. Start focusing on Him. God's got a plan with that. And somehow, He'll get you through that thing. We are not done, but we are not crushed. When it's not the end of the world. We'll get through this. We'll get to the other side. And so God is either protecting me or He's providing me. If it's not happening now, I know there's a plan for this. Now, let me change gears quickly here. For some of you, you've been holding on to a promise, but you've let go. Maybe a promise that you're going to have a child, or your child's going to turn to the Lord, or a promise that you will lend and not borrow. I don't know what it is, but you've given up because you've waited too long, and God has not come through for you. I want to say to you, He's not come through for you yet. Don't give up on God's promises. God's promises are not connected to our timeline. Keep trusting God. And so I want to give you a key from Scripture this morning, from Hebrews chapter 6. I want you to give you a key to obtaining the promises in God's Word. Listen to what it says here. It says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And so according to the Bible, you and I need 2 things. Faith and patience. Faith is simply where you know God is on your side. You know He's going to come through for you at some stage. You know He's promised to provide for you. And when God promises provision, it's not just financial, it's not just health, it's not just emotions. God provides what we need. And so faith is knowing that. I know that. The breakthrough is coming. It's just a matter of time, and God is going to do that. And let me tell you, when you take that knowing on the inside, that faith, and you mix it with a little bit of patience, in other words, okay, I'll wait for you, Lord, because I know you're on the throne, and I know you love me, and I know you're going to come through, and I mix it with a bit of patience, you're going to be surprised by the goodness and the faithfulness of your God. But what do? I know that for a moment, and then it doesn't happen tomorrow, and then I give up. And I'm asking you today, don't give up. We need faith and patience. And so patience is simply the capacity to tolerate trouble with a good attitude. Can I repeat that? It's the capacity to tolerate trouble with a good attitude, to tolerate delays with a good attitude. And so for many of us, when there's trouble or when there's a delay, oh, we wait. But we wait with an attitude because I'm not enjoying this. This is not good. Listen, go and ask the Israelites what that did for them, what they got because of that. They spent 40 years in the wilderness where it should have taken them 11 days. A little 11-day journey turned into a 40-year ordeal. Why? Because of their attitude. Not because of sin. Go and check Scripture. It wasn't because of sin. It was because of the wrong attitude. They prolonged their time in the wilderness because of the wrong attitude. And so how you wait, let me just say to you, how you wait can affect how long you're going to wait. Let's make sure when we wait with a good attitude. We wait with faith and with expectation. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6 because there's some more that we can learn from this. He says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So he says, I want you to imitate them. He says, I want you to copy them. I want you to do what they did. They waited in faith and patience. Now, who is he referring to? Abraham. Listen to what he says. Let's keep on reading. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, here's the promise. This is the promise God made to Abraham. I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. It's easy, isn't it? You wait patiently and you receive. So how long did he wait? Till the next morning? Till the next week? 25 years. 25 years. Because when God gave him the promise initially, he was 75 years old. Then 15 years passes, and nothing happens. Then out of the blue, God shows up and God reaffirms the promise. God says, hey, I haven't forgotten about that promise. I'm going to stick to my word. And of course, you can imagine, you know, Abraham is thinking, man, it's about time, you know. So it's probably going to happen, you know, the next couple of weeks. Then 9 years goes by and nothing happens. And then God sends another messenger to Abraham. And the messenger says to Abraham, by this time next year, you'll have a child. So that's another year. You add that year to the 9 years, you got 10. You add the 10 years to the first 15 he waited, you got 25. I think 25 years is probably just enough time to get discouraged. Just enough time to say, I don't think God is going to do it. But this guy, God says, this guy didn't give up. Year after year after year. And God says, I want you to imitate him. I want you to do what he did. Because he just didn't give up. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 4. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations. He didn't give up. I'm saying to you this morning, we prayed for healing. And if that healing wasn't an instant healing right there, then it may happen over a period of time. Do not give up. Trust God for that. Trust God. And so I'm asking you today, I'm asking us today to pass the patience test. And God throws those little tests in every day. Have you noticed? You're going to have one just now when you leave the parking lot. And some of those tests And that's not Mossel Bay, by the way. They get in their cars and they drive off. They don't have what we have here. And so some of those tests are quick and easy. You know, you don't, it's an easy one. You know, you somebody cuts you off in traffic. That's easy. Come on. Pass the test. You know, you sit here in the traffic just now. Pass the test. So that difficult person at the office tomorrow, pass the test. For the young people, you know, those parents of yours that are just their annoying selves, pass the test, all right? So some of those tests are quick and they're easy, really. But some of our tests take a lot longer. And those are the ones we got to pass. You've been praying for something. You've been trusting God for something, and it hasn't happened yet. Keep trusting Him. Pass that test. God has got more for us. God's got more for us. But it's going to require faith and patience on our side. Not just faith. Not just faith for a little while. Sometimes you've got to put your faith out there and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you whether it takes months or years. But I'm going to trust you. I don't want to lose what you have for me simply because I wasn't patient in this situation. And so I want to pray for us this morning. And one of the first things that we're going to do, we're going to come and repent of a bad attitude. Because I don't want to be like the Israelites where we walk around with a bad attitude and we miss out completely on what God has. Oh, we're waiting. I'm waiting. I don't want to be that guy. I want to say, hey, I'm waiting. I've been waiting for 3 years. I'm trusting God because when the time is right, then we'll receive it. We wait with a bad attitude, we receive nothing. So I want to invite you. Stand with me. Let's bring this to the Lord. Are you glad you came to church today? Amen. So am I. I've missed this, man. Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you that you are on the throne. You rule and you reign the entire universe. Nothing happens without you knowing exactly what's happening where, and it doesn't catch you off guard. But sometimes we don't realize that. And somehow, you take an interest in the little details of our lives. And then on top of that, you've given us a couple of thousand promises in the Word. Help us, Lord, to walk with faith and patience. And times where we've become impatient and we've had a bad attitude, and Lord, we've all been there. And we've moaned and we've complained, and even if it was just on the inside, we want to come this morning and just repent and say, Lord, forgive us. It's foolish, absolute foolishness of us. And help us now to trust you, to put our faith, our confidence in you, and to wait patiently. And when we face little tests tomorrow and the day after, help us to pass them. If we can pass the small ones, we'll pass the bigger ones. You agree with that prayer? Then say amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great week.